This is Carla Davenport, the producer of I Spy Radio. As you know, fighting abortion and standing up for the unborn is very important to us here on I Spy. Recently, Oregon became the most abortion-friendly state in the nation. While we can't stop all the new laws, did you know that we can stop the state from using taxpayer dollars to pay for free abortions? We urge you to visit stopthefunding.com to sign the petition. That's stopthefunding.com.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Welcome. We have a very full show for you today and some big and exciting news, too, so we're just going to jump right in. On today's show, we're talking about abortion. No, that's not the exciting part. The exciting part is that the majority of today's college and high school students are pro-life and against abortion. For those of you who were fighting in the trenches in the wake of Roe v. Wade, for those of you who attended pro-life rallies in the early days, who took the long road to Washington, D.C. to be part of the annual March for Life, you're winning the battle. The war's not over, but you've won the hearts and minds of this new generation, and that's exciting. Now, here in Oregon, like the Nazis holding out in Berlin and in the waning days of World War II, the battle is still going, and it's ugly. Oregon is now the only state in the nation that has no pro-life laws. None. A woman can abort a child at any stage in her pregnancy for any reason. A full 9-month-old baby, she can abort it. And if she doesn't have the money for it, Oregon will use your tax dollars to pay for it. Free abortions, anytime, anywhere, for any reason. While that's discouraging, I want you to think about what it was like in the days right after Roe v. Wade. It was even darker. The Supreme Court had just made abortions legal in every state in the nation. But now look how far we've come. State after state after state have passed laws to protect the unborn, and that is exciting. On today's show, Nicole Bentz, the Northwest Regional Director of Students for Life of America, to talk about what's going on in Oregon, and then Kristen Hawkins, the National Director of Students for Life. And in case you haven't heard, Stop the Funding is flying out Mike Huckabee to help them in their fight against the taxpayers' funding of abortions. Be sure to stick around, and at the end of the show, we'll give you some details on Mike Huckabee's Oregon appearance. I'd like to welcome Nicole Bentz. She was raised on a cattle ranch near Burns, Oregon. She attended OSU and graduated in spring of 2016 with a degree in English. She started off in a Students for Life group while at OSU, and by senior year, she was its leader. She did work for a real estate company after graduation, but felt called to come back to the pro-life movement. Nicole, it is awesome to talk to you today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, there's just been so many dreadful developments in the pro-life movement here in Oregon. I applaud your courage for getting involved with Oregon Students for Life. And, you know, I think a lot of people looking at the overall pro-life movement, I think a lot of people who aren't necessarily aware of the trends are sometimes a little surprised to hear that the youth of today are more and more pro-life. I call it the ultrasound generation because mom would bring home an ultrasound of their younger siblings, and so they knew very much that was a real live baby in there and not just some blob of tissue. But how did you get involved in Students for Life?
Well, one of the big things that Students for Life does is that we really promote that the groups go out on their campuses and make themselves known to their peers by tabling in their public quad areas of their school. And that's actually how I got involved, was as a freshman, just walking to class. The president at the time was out there tabling about being pro-life, and I signed up, and he invited me to a meeting. And there I learned about abortion, because I had never, since I grew up in such a small area, small town, I didn't really know much about it. But then I learned about it, and I wanted to be involved. So
you didn't really come from a very religious family or anything like that. Your first introduction, it sounds like, to abortion was really there at the campus.
Yes. I grew up in a Catholic family, and I knew about abortion, but I didn't know how big of a how big of a problem it was in our country. I thought it was very, very rare. Hmm. There's not a Planned Parenthood near Crane, Oregon or Burns, Oregon. All my friends were religious, and so we never had anyone experience that. And so it was a new thing for me when I got to Oregon State that it wasn't rare. And that's what surprised me and why I wanted to get involved.
I see. Well, how big is the Oregon chapter of Students for Life? Are you guys on quite a number of campuses, or are you still fairly small? Give us some idea.
We have quite a few schools. Last time I counted up, we have 12, and those are including high schools as well. Most of them are on college campuses. We got the big schools like Portland State, University of Portland, and both PCC campuses, Oregon State and University of Oregon. So we have pretty big schools involved, and their chapters or clubs are quite large, actually. So that's really fun.
So 12 throughout the state. What would you guys need in terms of resources to grow bigger?
What we need is mostly just keeping a good narrative, I guess. So when I go to campuses that have a really small group, it's just inspiring them to speak up and inspiring them to get out there and talk to their peers, because the more they're out there, the more members they can recruit. And so just always making sure that all the students who want to be in the groups feel like they're doing their work, like going out there and they're making contacts and they're inspiring people to stand up for the pro-life movement.
I see. And when you're there on campus, do you see much in terms of harassment? Because there was an interesting article that we'll be talking about with our next guest, where a Students for Life organization was harassed by one of the professors. Do students experience much of that? And is it an organized effort to harass? For example, has Planned Parenthood in Oregon ever come out directly against your work with students?
Not that I know of. The people who usually kind of harass the pro-life students are other students themselves. When we're tabling on the school or have a display tour there, we do get a lot of not very nice reactions from students walking by, but not usually staff members. If staff members don't like that we're there, they just kind of walk by looking disapproving, but they don't really interact with us. Hmm. I just started working in July for Students for Life with my position I have now. So maybe last year there was different kinds of interactions, but so far this year it's mostly just students protesting our displays or the fact that our students are working on the campus, but nothing like in classrooms or anything.
In terms of being challenged directly by some of these pro-abortion organizations, actually it's kind of a big question. We'll save that for the next segment. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Nicole Bentz of the Oregon chapter, Students for Life. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today about abortion and pro-life issues. And we're talking right now with Nicole Bentz. She is the Northwest Regional Coordinator for Students for Life. And Nicole, going on to that segment there, in terms of the harassment that you guys face from other students, what is typically their argument for abortion?
Usually we get that we're not for choice and that we're telling women what to do with their bodies, or that we're using, I don't know, like, that's mostly the case, is people will tell us that we're trying to limit what a woman can do with her body rather than we're trying to be compassionate. And we're always trying to say we're trying to help the unborn and the mother.
Hmm. Well, we could go on quite a bit with some potential responses to that. But in terms of what's going on right now in Oregon, in case people aren't aware, and I'm always shocked when people aren't, but Oregon has passed, thanks to Governor Kate Brown, the new unfettered abortion law. We are now the only state in the nation that doesn't have a single pro-life bill, pro-life law. And now, of course, taxpayers are having to pay for it as well. So what are you hearing from students when they understand that Oregon now allows abortions right up to the due date of the baby?
So I've actually been on campuses almost every day this week with our SFLA fall tour. And when we talk about that Oregon law with students walking up to the display that they're not involved in the pro-life group, but we're, you know, just talking to them on the campus, and we tell them that, like you said, they're most of the time they don't even know that you can have an abortion up until the day of birth in Oregon, and that taxpayer dollars are funding abortions, they're always surprised. And they go, oh, well, you shouldn't have an abortion up right before the day of birth. And they're always surprised there isn't a limit on when you can have an abortion in the state of Oregon.
Hmm. And especially the fact that a baby can be full term and still get aborted. That's got to be shocking to people, even people that consider themselves pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm. They're always shocked. And they go, no, people don't do that. And, and so it's always a very shocked reaction.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it's just absolutely horrid. I mean, at that point, mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, it's infanticide when a baby's that late. But, I mean, it's always infanticide when it comes to abortion. Mm-hmm. What are some of your thoughts on how you can further engage and energize youth on this issue to get them active and engaged in terms of going out and getting involved in your group, but also helping to start push the pro-life narrative?
Using lots of social media really helps. I use all my social media platforms to promote the pro-life movement, and it sounds kind of weird, but making it sound cool, making that so people who are pro-life that may be shy about talking about it, maybe they vote pro-life, but they don't want to talk to their friends about it, making it more comfortable for them to come out and talk to their friends, talk to their classmates, and then join a pro-life group and getting involved that way. We have a lot of outlets with the Students for Life for students who maybe are shyer. They can do write letters to their senators. They can maybe they can do all the background work for their Students for Life groups as far as like making sure they have all the tables and all those resources they need. And so always trying to find a place in the pro-life movement for all students based on their personalities, and so that everyone can get involved and stand up for the unborn.
In terms of working with the individual chapters at these colleges, what kinds of supports do you as an organization offer them?
Oh, so many things. It's so fun. I offer trainings, so I can come in and teach apologetics, controversy trainings, life of the mother trainings, anything that they would need to know to be better equipped to talk about their pro-life stance. And then we offer tons of flyer resources, like information cards that you can hand out to people on your campus when you're tabling. We teach them how to be good leaders within their group, how to run good meetings. We have just so many supplies we can offer them, activism kits, president binders, everything that they would need to be a good active group on their campuses. And we provide displays so that we can set them up on the campus and interact with other students. And the groups get to run those displays with the regional coordinator.
And are there other organizations that you, as Students for Life, partner with to help with, let's say that a woman does get pregnant? Do you guys help steer them to various resources to help support that woman?
Yes. So one of our initiatives that's involved with Students for Life, it's part of our organization, is Pregnant on Campus Initiative. And students work with our Pregnant on Campus Initiative leader, that's Beth, who works in D.C., and she helps make sure that every Students for Life group that is a Pregnant on Campus group has all the resources, information they would need if they met a student on campus who was pregnant, and how to make sure she gets the resources she needs in that specific area. So if you're at Oregon State, we use Options Pregnancy Resource Center here in Corvallis. In Salem, there's Hope Pregnancy Resource Center. And so I help connect the student groups with those resource centers and make sure they have a relationship so that they can go get supplies or resources from those pregnancy centers and direct young women there.
Good. So we've got about 45 seconds here with you. How can listeners help you guys with your work?
Always supporting younger members into the pro-life movement. If they're interested in getting involved, direct them to our website, studentsforlife.org, and then help them get involved.
In terms of the signature gathering that's happening right now, when and where can people be looking for students that are helping with that petitioning?
All the campuses I listed earlier will have them, and when they go home in certain areas in Oregon, looking for any public space, malls, churches in the areas. So they'll be taking those signature papers home with them.
Awesome. Well, Nicole, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Thanks.
And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talk now to Kristen Hawkins. She was hired in 2006 to lead Students for Life of America. And since launching their full-time operation, Kristen has helped to grow the number of campus pro-life groups in the United States from 181 to over 1,150 in all 50 states. Just astonishing growth. Kristen, it is awesome to talk to you again.
Yes, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I'd actually like to start off with an article that was on Fox News, and which I'd mentioned in our previous segments there with Nicole. And this is about a college professor that is seen on video trying to censor pro-life students who were drawing on a sidewalk with chalk. And due to a court settlement, he has been ordered to undergo First Amendment training and pay $17,000 as a result of that settlement. His name was Dr. Gregory Thatcher, and he also recruited students from his class to help deface the Fresno State Students for Life sidewalk chalk. And then the professor actually is heard saying this on tape. He says, "You have permission to put it down, and I have permission to get rid of it. This is our part of free speech." And that last part, that is just chilling, to think that a professor has the right to silence somebody else.
That is chilling, and that is why Dr. Thatcher, is now going to be undergoing a 3-hour training in the First Amendment, because it isn't part of your free speech. We have the right to speak against abortion, to talk about the alternatives to abortion, and other people have the right to speak in favor of abortion, but they do not have the right to take what we've done and vandalize it and destroy it. That is not free speech. Vandalism is never freedom of speech.
No, it sure is not. Certainly we see that with Antifa and a whole bunch of these other groups. Let's talk a little bit about your organization, because that exponential growth is just astonishing. What do you attribute that kind of growth to?
Really, it's a Holy Spirit-led movement here where, you know, we have this generation of young people who were ripe to hear this message. They've seen their brothers and sisters in the womb via ultrasound.
Yes.
They've seen the GE 4D ultrasound ads on TV. So those tired old talking points of the abortion movement just doesn't work anymore. They just know innately that what is inside of that mother, what is inside of their friend, of their mom, of their aunt, of their sister, is a human being, and that human being does have rights. This generation, you know, for one, for sure, sees this issue as a human rights issue.
Hmm. Well, in terms of the students and this next generation, I'd like to call it the ultrasound generation for exactly the same reasons that you mentioned is they know that was a baby. I mean, you know, to have that impression right from the get-go when they're young like that. What percentage would you say of the youth today are pro-life?
Well, you know, we did polling last summer that we released, and the Barna poll that we conducted, 53% of 18 to 24-year-olds, so right in that millennial generation, said that they believed abortion should be illegal in all or almost every circumstance.
Wow.
That's huge. We've seen other polls, when you ask about the morality of abortion, go much higher than that. The legality of abortion is always that more difficult polling question for our movement. But I think that tells you, I mean, if you've got 53% of the generation thinking abortion should be illegal in all or almost circumstance, you know we're winning. You know,
yes.
This generation stands for life.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really do attribute a lot of that to the ultrasound. And I saw in an article some years ago that I think would be even more awesome if there was some way to start incorporating it. And it was it combined ultrasounds with a 3D printer. And it was an obstetrician down, I want to say, like Venezuela or somewhere in South America, that had done this. And so you could actually walk home with a 3D printout of your baby while it's still in the womb. And it was tiny. It was like 2 inches. And you could see that, you could see the limbs. You could see a little bit of facial expression. I mean, it was astonishing. I mean, imagine if you had a kiosk like that in every mall across America. You give free ultrasounds and walk out with a little 3D printout of your baby.
That's right. And that those things humanitize that child.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, just like our sock at the PP tour that we've been on, we've been taking around 328,000 socks, one sock for each child, Planned Parenthood aboard this year. It humanitizes the issue because it doesn't matter who walks by our display of socks, you know, Republican, Democrat, young, old, white, black, male or female, every single person thinks about those feet that should be filling those baby socks. Mm. And anytime we do something like that in the pro-life movement, whether it's, you know, a 3D printer from an ultrasound, showing ultrasounds, showing, you know, baby socks represent the children's feet that aren't here because of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, it makes people think about what truly abortion is and how it destroys that innocent child in the womb.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to talk a little bit about where abortion stands today, but it's kind of a larger topic, so let's go ahead and take a break a little bit early.
Okay.
Coming back, we'll have more with Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life. Stay with us. Landmark Pacific is known for their outstanding steel buildings and general contracting. But did you know that they're also a fantastic choice to maintain your existing building? When new construction isn't an option, maintaining your existing pre-engineered steel building is absolutely imperative. Incorrect materials can greatly reduce the life of your metal roof. For metal re-roofs, repairs, or additions and remodels, call the experts at Landmark Pacific, 503-743-3256. That's 503-743-3256. And welcome back. We're talking all about pro-life issues. There is a signature gathering effort underway right now. We'll have more details on that later on. But you can help sign the petition to stop the taxpayer funding of abortions here in Oregon. And we're talking right now with Kristen Hawkins. She is with Students for Life of America. And I'd like to talk a little bit about where abortion stands today. You know, your organization was founded in 1988, 15 years after Roe v. Wade. But there is a long history in the U.S. of pro-life laws, including laws in place since the 1800s that made abortion illegal. Regrettably, a lot of those laws, due to the work of Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist and a racist, pro-abortion laws slowly began to make headway. Do you think, though, that in today's day and age, a lot of, especially black Americans, and perhaps even some feminists, are starting to see through Sanger's real agenda that it wasn't about women's rights, but about exterminating the wrong kinds of people?
I think some have, yes. I have black friends who joined the pro-life movement, and they talk about, you know, that first time when they found out what Margaret Sanger's true agenda is. When we're able to have that conversation with African-American students on campuses, it really does help them see a Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a different light. Because the majority of Americans, when they think about Planned Parenthood, they like to think of, well, they do a lot of good services, quote-unquote good services, and yeah, they do abortion, but it's just a small percentage. It's not a big deal. But it really is a big deal when you look at the fact that they have abortion quotas in place for every single one of their abortion facilities, that they actually have to sell so many abortions a month in order not to get in trouble by the national organization. When you look at the money and you look at the fact that 94% of pregnant women who walk into Planned Parenthood will only receive an abortion, it really starts to shift your views of Planned Parenthood. And when students find out the truth behind Margaret Sanger, I mean, most students are shocked, like, why would this organization continue to celebrate this woman?
Yeah, well, when you understand her history and her mindset about abortion, it really does bring out the real evil behind not only Planned Parenthood, but abortion as well. And as far as this notion that Planned Parenthood, they do some good things, that's like saying, well, slavery was okay because the slave owners at least provided food and housing for their slaves. So, I mean, they're still doing some good things.
It's unbelievable when you think about the callousness of Planned Parenthood. And even this past year, when Planned Parenthood was celebrating their 100th birthday, they actually put out videos narrated by Lena Dunham, a very prominent pro-abortion activist in Hollywood. And it was
it was actually produced by another prominent pro-life, pro-abortion Hollywood producer. And this video told about Planned Parenthood's history. Hmm. And they actually talked about Margaret Sanger. And I was shocked the fact that they didn't try to cover it up. They embraced her. They embraced their roots and said, yeah, she might have had some unsavory thoughts and opinions, but everybody around those times did.
Wow. Well, that's kind of, you know, that leads right into Hollywood, where there's this notion that, well, Harvey Weinstein was the way that he was because that was just a different era and that sort of thing was not frowned upon. I mean, come on. But Hollywood, I mean, this is an industry that preys on women by making them sexual objects. And then, surprise, they're shocked when women in Hollywood are treated like sexual objects. I mean, these are the same people who spout abortion rights and dehumanize babies.
That's right.
Do you think that the sudden exposure about Hollywood's abuse of women just might have some kind of cultural changes when it comes to pro-life issues?
I'm not sure. I mean, honestly, when you look at Hollywood, I mean, is anyone surprised? I mean, I'm waiting for the bombs to start dropping in Washington, D.C., to be honest with you, of all, you know, allegations of misconduct in Washington, because, I mean, I worked on Capitol Hill. I know what it was like. You know, as a woman, you knew when you were working in that environment to be wary of men who approached you and to be on your guard. Mm. And you see it time and time again. I think this is a symptom of a larger problem that we have in our society where we don't respect human beings, that, you know, especially what abortion has told men the past 40 some years, that you can do whatever you want with women's bodies. And, you know, yeah, she gets pregnant, just give her $350 to get it taken care of.
Yeah.
You don't have to be responsible for your actions. I think this is just a symptom of a larger problem that we have in our nation of not respecting, you know, our bodies,
yes,
not respecting other people's bodies. And this is just a byproduct of the sexual revolution, of the sex whenever, wherever, without consequences. It's meaningless generation.
Yes, and I think that's the word right there that is so key, is that notion of consequences for your actions. Yeah. Actresses are now coming out saying that they were considered difficult because they said no to harassment. Do you think there are some strategic opportunities here that with this new environment, maybe there are some inroads that start softening their positions on abortion?
I mean, I think what we, you know, we talk a lot on college campuses about sexual assault. We actually have a display of called We Care. We talk about sexual assault, where to go for help if you're a victim or a friend of yours is a victim or survivor of sexual assault. And then we actually use it to talk about abortion as well, because when we look at the abortion issue, you know, time and time again, every campus I speak at, every, you know, hard interview I do, the question is always about rape and should rape, you know,
yes,
should an instance of rape make abortion legal and make it legal for everybody for whatever circumstance. And so I think we can talk about it. We can show America that this generation, you know, this movement truly cares about women, and we can use it to have an honest discussion about rape and what happens to a woman who has survived sexual assault and has become pregnant, and how can we truly serve her and her child.
Yes, in fact, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about the whole situation with rape and abortion. Everyone stay with us. We'll talk about that after this. And welcome back. We're talking about pro-life issues today with Kristen Hawkins. There is a signature gathering movement underway right now. We will have details of that up on iSpyRadio.com. That's iSpyRadio.com. And it's the letter I, not the thing you do the spying with. Talking with Kristen Hawkins, she is with Students for Life of America. And going on to that last segment there, we're talking about rape. And this is really a difficult discussion point here. I can understand a lot of women that when they get raped, they want nothing to do with the possibility of being pregnant. Can you talk to us a little bit more about, and I think also a lot of people believe that this should be one exception for this. I don't know that I personally believe that. I would rather, I can understand why a woman would make that choice in that situation. Me personally, I think there's no problem so big that God can't fix that. And you never know where that child's life is going to go. That you that is coming out of that horrible, horrible situation. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about some of the things that, that you say to women when they're considering getting abortion as a result of rape, and also some of the discussion sure. points that you use there on campus?
Sure. I mean, we have to realize when this topic comes up, if it's on the news or we're talking about it with someone, that whenever we discuss this, we're talking to potential, you know, victims and survivors of sexual sure. assault. So the first step here is you always you want to convey your sympathy for what she's going through.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't think of nothing worse to happen to me or my daughter than surviving a rape. And so I think that's something that we first have to convey. And because, I mean, honestly, no one really is going to care what your opinion is on this issue or abortion, they don't feel like you actually care about them as a human being or as a person. And so when I'm having that conversation with someone on campus, I'm always first dealing with her, talking to her, praying for her, making sure she has the resources that she needs. And then when we talk about rape, when we talk about a pregnancy that might result from rape, I think the first thing we need to acknowledge is this is rare. It doesn't happen a lot. I think it, when you hear about, it's talked about a lot because the abortion movement knows this is a horrible situation, and they've used it for 40 years to justify having abortions on demand and all 9 months for any reason. The fact is only about 3% of abortions are committed in cases of rape, incest, or truly the life of the mother is at risk. Hmm. And so I think we need to understand that this is a small percentage of cases that actually do result from rape into pregnancy. And actually, and it's not, and you know, I've seen some of the statistics over the years, it's about half of the women who are victims of sexual assault, who survived that sexual assault and become pregnant, they choose to parent their child.
And what was that percentage again?
To place, it's about half.
Wow.
They choose to parent or place for adoption. So it's not as many as the media or the Planned Parenthood or the abortion movement would lead you to believe. And I think when we're talking with someone, we're talking in the media, we're talking with even a friend or someone at church or at work about this, I think, you know, we are trying to be ideologically consistent, because when we say that what's inside of that woman, a woman is a unique, whole, living human child, we mean it. And we believe that that child has rights at the moment of conception, yes. when the egg and the sperm unite, and your parentage does not determine your worthiness as a human being. Who your parents are doesn't determine how valuable you are, the fact that you should have any more or less rights than other human beings. And so when we're talking about rape, it would be great if we would be able to say, sure, you know, have an abortion, whatever, it's nothing. But it's not nothing. What we're talking about is, in fact, a unique, whole, living human being that should not be punished for the crimes of his or her father.
Yeah.
You know, if my father would go out today and commit a horrible atrocity, workplace violence, and shoot people or do something, drive drunk and kill people, no one would suggest that I should be put to death for his crime.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about abortion, is we're saying, well, your father, the person who created you, helped create you, they need to be in jail for the rest of their life, castrated, whatever. But we're also saying you should be killed as well. And that's not right, because that child is a unique, whole, living human being with rights. And his or her parents, the crimes of his or her parents do not determine his value.
That's exactly right. You know, we've even though Oregon is going absolutely backwards on this, we are the only state in the nation right now that has no pro-life laws, no pro-life protections for babies. There are a lot of inroads, though, in a lot of these other states, in part, I think, because of the Republican waves here that have seen a lot of legislators turn Republican, and also governorships. I know states such as Texas are taking some very strong stances supporting pro-life policies. Can you give us a rundown on some of these other states and what they're doing to support pro-life policies?
Yeah, I mean, we've had more than 300 pieces of pro-life legislation passed just in the past decade. It's been the most ever. And this has really truly been a pro-life decade that we're witnessing in the states. And we have, you know, the majority of state houses now are run by pro-life officials. We have a lot of Republican governors who espouse to be pro-life. And so you're seeing laws like 72-hour waiting periods, or laws that require abortion facilities to be ambulatory surgical centers, that meaning that since they're performing surgery, they have to be to the same level of standards, cleanliness. Their hallways have to be wide enough for an EMT gurney to get through. And these laws are having an impact because, honestly, abortion facilities don't like spending money because this is all about profit to them. And it blows my mind how Planned Parenthood could reasonably argue against a law that requires their hallways to be large enough for an EMT gurney to get through. When you look at the case, you know, a couple of years ago in Philadelphia, Kermit Gosnell's House of Horrors, and Katamaya Marner, you know, sat and she was laying down. She had been administered anesthesia by someone who wasn't administered to do so. They gave her too much. They knew her vitals were dropping. They called the EMTs, and the EMTs literally could not get to her with the gurney because there was an old elevator that wasn't big enough. The hallways weren't big enough. Yet Planned Parenthood goes state by state and tries with judges to invalidate these common sense laws. And these are things that the majority of Americans do agree with, for sure. And so, you know, I think that's so sad that we've gotten to a point in our country where we can't even have a reasonable discussion about safety protocol with these abortion facilities. And literally the Supreme Court ruled last summer that, you know, they struck down one of the laws in Texas, for example, that required, you know, that the abortionist had to have admitting privileges within 100 miles of the abortion facility in a hospital. And that was making it difficult to shut down, you know, abortion facility in Mississippi. And they argued that access to abortion was more of a concern than safety. And so, yes, while we're making headway, and we have been making headway for the past decade, there's a lot of things to do, especially there in Oregon, Illinois, where the governor in Illinois just signed a law that's forcing all Illinois taxpayers now to fund abortion.
Yes.
Just like you all there in Oregon.
Yep, taking a lesson from Oregon. Okay, let's go and take a break. Coming up in our final segment, we'll continue our discussion with Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life of America, and we'll talk about some of the future. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking about abortion today due to Oregon's new unfettered abortion law, a law that allows for abortions to be done right up to the due date, as well as force pro-life taxpayers to pay for this horrific procedure. Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life of America, what are your number one goals for 2018?
Well, we're going to be working really hard in California, actually, and across the country, talking about RU486, you know, the abortion pill. This is where the abortion industry is going to be throwing a lot of its political capital behind because they know that they're losing in terms of public opinion. They know that the majority of Americans are actually against second and third trimester abortions. And so they're trying to make sure that all abortions are conducted in that first trimester when it's hard to see the baby, right? And you only see the flicker of his heartbeat via ultrasound. And we also know that disposal of human beings is very challenging for abortion facilities. And they've been caught undercover talking about this, how this is the biggest issue they face, that they have to rent refrigerators just to fill all the dead babies. And they don't know what to do with them. And so RU486 is something that kind of alleviates that problem. They don't have to do late-term abortions. They don't have to pay for disposal fees because they just tell her to sit on the toilet, not to look and flush. And so this is something that it's a lot easier for them. They don't have to pay for instruments. It's just a doctor has to be there when she takes the first pill, nothing else. Like in California, a doctor doesn't even have to be there when she takes that first abortion pill. And then when she's bleeding out, when she's hemorrhaging, she just goes to the emergency room for care. And they're the ones who are forced to deal with her abortion and to help her make sure she survives the abortion when her child is being killed. And so what we're really focusing on is educating college students about the dangers of RU486, the fact that there's a successful about 60-70% of the chance times, they can actually reverse the RU486 effects after the first pill. And we have physicians, OBs across the country who are willing to help her deal with that RU486 reversal. And so right now in California, they're going to be introducing legislation actually trying to turn all the state universities into abortion providers because they're going to require every single health center in the state for a state college to actually dispense RU486 drugs. And we know if it passes there, it's coming straight to Oregon. It's going to go to Washington, New York, and all the other liberal Democratic states across the country. And so we're going to be fighting there a lot. We're obviously going to be continuing to beat the drum about defunding Planned Parenthood, making sure that, our elected officials in Washington don't forget the promises they made and they uphold their promises to defund Planned Parenthood over $500 million in taxpayer funds they receive every year. And so those are kind of our two main priorities going into 2018.
Wow. I'm not surprised about California, and I'm sure Oregon will take lessons from that as well. I mean, here in Oregon, under the Nazi-named Oregon Health Authority, public schools are allowing Planned Parenthood right into their high schools, and this includes so-called health centers that just happen to be staffed by Planned Parenthood workers, and also the sex ed and sexuality classes with Planned Parenthood curriculum and a whole bunch more. It sounds like California is modeling that and vice versa. Are there other states that are in those same lines?
Sure. Yeah, we just stopped the situation in Reading, PA in August, where a Planned Parenthood worker was going to be put inside Reading High School to refer students directly to their Allentown abortion facility, which has been cited multiple times for safety violations. And we actually, with students, go out to the board meetings, protest, had a couple of rallies, letters to the editor, and the school board actually ended up deciding not to go forward. We had an issue in Spokane just this month where they were going to allow Planned Parenthood in the middle schools. We raised the stink, and they have decided to table their vote. And so the good news there is that we can fight this if we know about it. If somebody contacts Students for Life and we get students out there speaking out about how we don't want abortion preying upon us, because this is part of Planned Parenthood's abortion agenda.
Yes.
Is that the earlier they can get students having sex, come to us, we can give you birth control, the more likely she's going to come back for STD test, STD treatment, other types of birth control, and then the abortion.
Yeah, and once again, no consequences. You know, we found that exposure is very effective means to stop Planned Parenthood. Chris Bridgens in Astoria and her Oregon Republican Women's Group successfully kept Planned Parenthood out of their Astoria school system. In fact, if parents out there want to get in touch with her, drop us an email, mark@ispyradio.com, or just visit ispyradio.com, and we will hook you guys up so that you can get some methodology from her. Are there other methods that your groups use to help fight back Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, I mean, exposure is the main thing for us is telling people about Planned Parenthood's business model, because the fact is we have the majority. Majority of Americans don't want abortions taxpayer funded. Majority of Americans, when they find out what Planned Parenthood actually does, they don't like Planned Parenthood. Mm. So all we have to do is simply tell. The problem is we're facing a $1 billion Goliath, which has a larger marketing budget than all the other national pro-abortion organizations put together. Wow. And so they literally lead the charge, and they have a louder megaphone than we do. And so that's why we have to constantly be talking about this. And, we have to be kind of like that broken record, because people do not know. They truly do not know. I was talking to someone, a conservative reporter and a conservative, news outlet the other day, and he was just astounded when I told him about Planned Parenthood and what was going on. I'm like, and of all people, he should know, because he runs in the same circles. He gets the same, he reads the same news sites that I know. But we haven't even educated our own people, our own political allies about
it isn't that shocking. You're exactly right. He's the kind of person that should know. Kristen Hawkins, unfortunately, we are up against the clock here. I want to thank you so much for your time, and God bless you guys
as you
continue to fight for the unborn.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad you stayed with us, and we certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser than when you got here. There's some real darkness out there, but there's also some real hope. As we announced earlier, Mike Huckabee is coming to Oregon. The organization Stop the Funding is bringing him out to help their efforts to stop Oregon from using taxpayer dollars to pay for free abortions. He will be coming out at the end of January. Final dates will be forthcoming. So far, what we know is that he will be appearing in Portland, Salem, and Medford. Stay tuned as more information and details become available. we will keep you posted. Keep checking iSpyRadio.com or our Twitter feed at iSpyRadio for details. Also, StopTheFunding.org, that's StopTheFunding.org, for news and information and how you can help. Lots more to come. Great information on today's show about fighting back the darkness and winning. Encourage your kids to get involved and support those who already are, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.